Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lisa, and today for some reason I feel like doing a French-Canadian accent. Aujourd'hui, on the show, Soir Noir.
It's a Nightclub Confidential coming this April, and Steph's been finding out more.
And don't forget, voting, the awards is still open.
Yeah, a lot long to go now. Keep your votes coming in. Voting for the finals of the Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by Yugo, are now open. You nominated and we've now shortlisted. Now we need your help to tell us who you want to win. All 17 awards are up on our website for you to vote for your finalists. The results will be announced at our award ceremony on the 27th of March, live at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol. To cast your votes, to grab tickets, and to find out more about the Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, visit our website awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Is that you, background.
I thought she had a walnut whip in her mouth.
A walnut whip.
Whip.
It's here.
I didn't know they still existed, those things.
It's so tiny.
Are they got smaller, have they? Everything's had shrinkflation.
Remember wagon wheels? Yes. How big they were. Yeah. They were the size of a wagon wheel when I was a kid.
They
I couldn't
huge.
Pick it up. It was humongous. And I was tiny. It's a mouthful. Well, two mouthfuls for me.
It's a bit like curly whirlies. They used to be like as long as your 30 centimetre ruler, didn't they? Now they're like 10 centimetres.
30 centimetre ruler?
Yeah.
That's very specific.
Well, it was because it was school, wasn't it? You buy it at the tuck shop and it would
curly whirlies, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, bonjour.
Bonjour.
Ça va?
Ça va? Ça va?
It's weird. I've had like Greek and Turkish for the last like 2 weeks, and I get here in all hell.
French Canadian.
I got Steph teaching Terry how to eat a walnut whip.
Go there. Don't forget we're off control.
Say no more. But it was very graphic before we went on air. Let's put it that way.
Don't forget, Ofcom specifically listen to this show every week because they know that we could go over the top. They can't wait to get us off air.
I think they can't wait to tune in. That's what it's like. Don't take us off.
Anyway, while I was away, my God, have people been voting? We've had thousands of votes for the awards.
Yay!
Brilliant. Do keep them coming. You've got, if you're listening live, which is on the Thursday show here on BCFM, you've got 2 weeks and a day. They close midnight on the Friday in a couple of weeks, so not long. And tickets are up. You can get a ticket by donation. The freebie ones will go up in a couple of weeks if you don't want to donate. We'd love it if you would, though, please, because it does help. It helps us put the awards on.
I loved telling people that they were nominated. They were so happy. It was really great. It was a really great thing to have to do.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's the same as on the stage. It's really rewarding when you get to tell someone that they've won, you know. And for everyone who's in the finals, don't forget, you kind of already won because you got shortlisted from quite a lot of people who were nominated in the different awards. That in itself is a lot of kudos, you know. So, but only one can win each award, which is the downside. It wouldn't really be an award ceremony. We'd just give everyone an award, would it? So... give them all walnut whips.
Well, give them all walnut whips.
Can I just tell people that I've removed myself? What do they say in the States? Recused myself? Recuse. So everyone else gets a chance now.
Are you on? what award were you in for?
I have no idea.
Best chocolate.
Every
eater.
Award.
The Steffi Barnett Award for being Steffi Barnett Extraordinary DJ.
So, but yeah, no, can't wait. And of course, ceremonies at the end of March. Last Thursday, it's the 27th. So, if you downloaded the poster, by the way, in the last week, please check the date on it. We did discover that was wrong and it's been redone.
I did have a couple of queries about that.
Yeah, saying, a big thank you to those that sent the spelling mistakes. We do try, but you have to remember we are community. We do proofread everything, but things do slip through, especially when you're in a hurry. So, and I was racing to go on holiday. I'm trying to get all that live.
Don't you think as an LGBT plus show we should proofread everything instead?
Proofread?
An offensive term some people might remember from the 1980s.
Oh, yes.
I was considering, Terry, but you said it.
Well, it's the kind of rule is you can if you're okay,
can you? There's a question about words. There's words you don't like, isn't there?
I'm not a lover of the word queer, but then that's because I remember having it shouted at me in a very derogative way. Didn't, you know, and my association
you can,
with
you can
it
reclaim
is,
certain words, though. I mean,
didn't
many
poof. Poof just meant disappear, didn't it? Didn't they use it on television?
Or a poofy. Poof. In the living room.
The puff in the living room. I put my feet on our puff.
Well, considering my spelling talent, I think I might have been poof reading my whole life.
Anyway, before we descend into any more chaos, it's still LGBT History Month.
It is.
For another day and a bit.
We've just had a brief history of slurs.
Well, we have, yes. But here's a little bit more on Oscar Wilde.
LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2. Oscar Wilde. Wilde, born in Dublin, became one of London's most popular playwrights in the early 1890s. Known for his biting wit, flamboyant dress, and glittering conversational skill, Wilde became one of the best-known personalities of his day. In 1895, against the advice of his friends, Wilde had the Marquess of Queensberry, the father of his lover, Lord Alfred Douglas, prosecuted for criminal libel after he had publicly referred to Wilde as a sodomite. Wilde lost the case and was left bankrupt. On the 25th of May, 1895, Wilde was convicted of gross indecency and sentenced to 2 years hard labour. He was incarcerated from the 25th of May, 1895, until the 18th of May, 1897. On his release, he sailed that night to France, never to return to the UK. In 2017, Wilde was among an estimated 50,000 men who were pardoned for homosexual acts by the Alan Turing Law. LGBT History Month on BCFM 93.2.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
So, God, admit it. How much of that do you actually know? Like that 10%.
I know it all.
So that's Africa by Toto.
About 1982?
Somewhere around there, yeah. I can't remember now. So I did actually look at the time. I was just going back in time because Steph asked me to find something from the 50s, and I'm like, well, you were the one that was alive then, not me. Why are you asking me?
Burn. Mic drop.
So, hello, Ez.
Hello.
Or Steph's just suddenly got very young.
Yeah, I'm 40 this year. Steph's 45.
Oh, is she?
I know, yeah. We look so similar in age. Yeah, it's wonderful to be here tonight. I don't even know if I was here last week. Every day is sort of blurring into one.
I think you were.
Yeah, I thought you were.
I was? Yeah. It was a great show.
It was a good show, yeah.
It was wonderful. We were just talking about memory. Oh, that made me laugh then, Andy. I was just remembering when I first came to radio and you said, you can laugh all you want, but lean your head back.
Well, yeah, but and Terry's the best at doing it. Have you noticed? Whenever Terry laughs, he actually... I mean, I've been doing this 15 years and I forget that when you laugh, you're supposed to move away from the microphone.
That's right.
Because well, you don't hear when you listen at home, because obviously it's gone through all the equipment by that point. But here, when everyone laughs, everything lights up red because you just blow everything out.
Exactly. So,
and this desk isn't bad. In the previous studio, before we moved buildings, we had a temporary desk while this one was fixed, and it was a really old analog one. And if you blew it out, it actually cut you off.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So every time everyone laughed, you just got radio silence come out. And you didn't know in the studio, apart from the VU meters, that's how old it was, they were needles, would just drop to zero. And then slowly it would fade back in, you know. Yeah, when you listen to the podcast, you'd be like, that's really weird. Like, if we laugh too much, it cuts you off. Perhaps we should do that more often.
Oh.
Mind you, with you, we just have radio silence.
I was about to say, could I still be on the show? That's such fun. Let's do it. Laugh roulette.
Well, should we do some news?
All right. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
Nick Fish, writing for American Atheists, warns that the Trump administration is already trying to stifle freedom of thought and expression around the globe. In a press release, Nick writes, "The empowered white Christian nationalists have already circulated lists of forbidden words, including activism, climate change, pollution, women, disability, black, socioeconomic, and so on. Researchers have warned Trump's edicts not only censor scientists, but compel them to deny realities grounded in science. Even though," Nick went on, featuring the consequences of non-compliance, "federal agencies have scrambled to suspend grants, eliminate programs, and remove public data sets, research papers, and so on. The dismantling of USAID, for example, abruptly ended dozens of clinical trials overseas, endangering the lives and well-beings of thousands of individuals who volunteered to receive experimental treatments. It's been estimated that during a 90-day freeze, more than 100,000 babies will be born with HIV, and each week 1 million women and girls will be denied access to contraception." Time and again, he said, this administration has vilified the education system, a free press, and science. Authoritarians fear free thought because it is by nature uncontrollable. It spurs progress, rejects dogma, and inspires dissent. As Thomas Paine wrote, the mind, once enlightened, cannot be again become dark. Try as they might, this presidency cannot simply dispute facts, erase knowledge and rewrite reality, at least not so long as there are individuals like you and I unafraid to defy them.
Houston LGBTQIA plus magazine Outsmart reports that the proportion of American adults who identify as LGBTQIA plus has risen to 9.3% of the population, according to a Gallup poll. The proportion of the population identifying as lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans or non-heterosexual has nearly doubled since 2020 and has jumped from 3.5% since 2012, when it was first measured by Gallup, an analytics and advisory company based in Washington, D.C. If there is one thing that people should take away from these new findings, it's this. LGBTQIA plus people have always been here, and we will continue to be here no matter what laws or policies attempt to erase us, said James Black, CEO of the Trevor Project, a suicide prevention and crisis intervention organisation for LGBTQIA plus youth, via email. The findings are based on phone interviews conducted in 2024 with more than 14,100 adults in the US. Identifying as LGBTQIA+ is also more common in cities and suburbs compared with rural areas, and among Democrats and independents versus Republicans, according to the poll, Gallup didn't observe, however, any differences based on education, since both college graduates and non-graduates were equally likely to identify as LGBTQIA+, it said.
Popular internet news analyst Erin in the Morning reports on her blog that travel restrictions on transgender people have a shocking historical precedent and might be a precursor to wider persecution. Herin reports, a newly issued memo from Marco Rubio, effectively immediately across all diplomatic and consular posts, may have just barred most transgender people with updated gender markers who are seeking visas from obtaining them to enter the United States. His document, entitled Guidance for Visa Adjudicators on Executive Order 14201, Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports, is ostensibly focused on preventing trans athletes from travelling to the US. However, one section appears to apply far more broadly, targeting all transgender visa applicants, not just athletes. It mandates, quote, all visas must reflect an applicant's sex at birth, and grants officials the authority to deny visas based on, quote, reasonable suspicion of a person's transgender identity. The memo goes on to state that applicants misrepresenting their purpose of travel or their sex could be targeted for permanent ineligibility for a visa. It states that some common scenarios that would trigger this is if the misrepresentation is material, which it states would be the case for trans athletes entering for an athletic competition. However, even this section does not limit it to transgender athletes. Many other reasons for entry may be considered material for transgender people. For example, activism, immigrants fleeing oppressive regimes, and more could also be swept up under this provision.
Kaleidoscope will be holding an inclusive All Bodies and Abilities Welcome Dance Night at the People's Republic of Stokes Croft on Saturday 1st of March. By way of explanation, the queer-friendly group states, we throw dance parties where all bodies are invited. You already know how to dance, we're just here to give you permission to embrace all of the ways your body wants to move. We expect you to be great and respecting of other people's boundaries and bodies, to pay attention and to use your words if you're unsure. We'll kick off the evening with an intro to social dancing for anyone who'd like some tips on dancing with a partner before local DJs get us moving with tracks ranging from slow and squishy, great word, to high energy bangers. To discuss accessibility and unwaged concessions, contact hello@kaleidoscopefusion.com.
Now, we here at Shoutout are always pleased to report on news relating to developments in the sector of voluntary and grassroots media, and particularly in the LGBTQIA plus media. We do not see ourselves as in competition with organisations and services like Gaydio or Juice FM. Rather, it's a case of the more the merrier. Now, we welcome a new internet and DAB station that has switched on to provide LGBTQIA plus radio content to areas without an existing service, such as rural towns and villages. Pride FM, not to be confused with Pride Radio in Newcastle, is the brainchild of CEO and founder John Dash, who says, over the years, I've witnessed how radio has the unique power to unite and strengthen communities. Through conversations with rural Pride event organisers, it has become clear that there was a strong desire for a dedicated service tailored to these communities. We've brought that vision to life, combining cutting-edge broadcasting technology, online streaming and production. I'm incredibly proud to launch this new service, he said. In today's climate, there's an undeniable need for more tolerance and more understanding, and Pride FM was created with that mission in mind. Well, we wish Pride FM the best for its broadcast and welcome this diversification of all in the availability of LGBTQIA plus media.
And lastly, there are several observances of the weekend as we move from February into March. Saturday 1st of March is Davis Day in Wales, the National Day of the Country, LGBTQI plus Welsh solidarity everywhere. And it is worth noting that many of the cultural icons of defiance to English rule can equally apply to LGBTQIS plus identities. Songs, for example, like David Ewan's Oh, Terry.
Amar Ohid.
Thank you. Which translates as We're Still Here and will be widely sung over the celebratory weekend this weekend. Meanwhile, tomorrow night, Friday 20th of February, we expect to have the start of Ramadan, the Islamic holy month proclaimed. Ramadan is characterised by daylight fasting from both food and drink and by carrying out charitable works. LGBTQI plus Muslim groups such as Hadaya will be issuing their Ramadan greetings, and we send ours to anyone who is celebrating this weekend.
That's your helping of news for this week. Do remember to keep in touch with LGBTQIA plus media in all platforms over the coming 7 days. You can start with us. We're online at shoutoutradio.lgbt, and we're squishy as well.
We are indeed squishy, squishy for Shoutout News. This has been Ezra Peregrine
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout. out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Squishy, squishy.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2. Peter Wildblood. In the early 1950s, Wildblood, a journalist for the Daily Mail, began an affair with an RAF corporal named Edward McNally. In 1952, Wildblood and McNally attended a party held by Lord Montagu of Beaulieu, along with Montagu's cousin, Michael Pitt Rivers, and another RAF serviceman. Wildblood, Montagu, and Pitt Rivers were brought to trial, charged with committing acts of homosexual indecency. The two servicemen gave evidence in exchange for leniency. During the course of the trial, Wildblood admitted to his sexuality, making him one of the first men in the UK to publicly declare his homosexuality. The publicity surrounding the case, the harsh sentences, along with further testimony by Wildblood to the Wolfenden Committee, eventually led to the decriminalisation of homosexuality in the UK in 1967. LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2.
The Shout Out Podcast.
It's so lovely when we can travel around the world without leaving our own studio. Although I do wish I was in New York right now. I've only done New York once and it was just wow. I'm joined by David Rhodes. We've got a smashing show coming straight to the UK, London. But first, David, welcome to Shout Out.
Thank you, Steffi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right now, let's go back in time.
Yes.
And I know you've got a great backstory, so I think we should start with that.
I do indeed. I grew up here in Manhattan on the Upper East Side. My father was a refugee from Nazi Germany, so I had a whole lot of Holocaust baggage to deal with. But that notwithstanding, I had a whole nother package of baggage to deal with. Both my parents were Freudian psychoanalysts, raised in the 50s. And of course, we all know that at that time, homosexuality was considered a deviation and a psychiatric disorder. So when my parents started to see signs of me emerging as a little bit more sensitive than some of the other boys, I started therapy in third grade. I wouldn't have actually call it conversion therapy, but it was clearly geared towards David's acting out and David dealing with his issues. As I got older, it became obvious to me who I was and what I needed to do. However, I was 21 in 1981, and that was the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. And the idea of coming out or having sex with men was terrifying. I also was a very successful young actor, and at that time, being an actor required one to be heterosexual, even though the majority of the casting directors were gay. The idea that an actor would read light or appear not appropriate to play romantic leads was problematic. So I was quite heavily closeted, had many, many relationships with women, and actually fell in love with a woman who wanted to get married. And I wanted to get married and be a husband and a father as well. So when I was 28, I got married after living with a woman for 6 years. My wife is a remarkable woman. She knew where I was coming from. She encouraged me to experiment with men, which I did prior to our marriage. But I was the one who was so afraid and insisted heterosexuality, parenthood, heteronormative lifestyle is what I need, and we can make that happen. And my wife, who was never somebody who was intimidated or sought completion by allying herself with a man and being a wife and a housewife, said, "You know what, babe, I love you. You've made this decision. We will make it work." So there was never any, I tell people that we had an open conversations long before we had an open marriage. But at the time I was determined to be a successful movie star, Broadway star, heterosexual male in the middle of a terrible, terrible time in New York history. And of course I felt shame and inauthentic, but this was the choice that I had made. I had my wife's support and I foraged on as a young straight actor. I found out found out that my wife was pregnant. I had been living in LA. I was working on a movie. Believe it or not, I made my professional screen debut in a movie called Playing for Keeps with me and Marissa Tomei, directed by none other than Harvey Weinstein. So if we want to have some real stories, we can go back to what went on the set when I was working with Harvey Weinstein on Universal's Miramax picture, Playing for Keeps. But let's stick with the LGBT story for now. So our son was born, and this was long before neurodivergency and Asperger's syndrome was in the lexicon. Our son was born 3 months after our wedding, so my wife got married 7 months pregnant. She converted to Judaism. My mother-in-law, who is Catholic, I was married by my uncle, who is a rabbi. The rabbi's wife said, "You lived in sin for 6 years with this woman. She converted to Judaism, and you walked her down the aisle 7 months pregnant. This woman," meaning my Catholic mother-in-law, "put up with more than any Jewish mother would ever have tolerated." So we had quite a lot of stuff going on. Then our son was born and clearly was just not developing the way other children developed. So we had to deal with autism at a time when autism was considered a psychiatric disorder before we understood that it was a neurological disorder. So then we had that battle to deal with. In the midst of this, obviously our marriage became tense and my feelings about men began to resurface. And my wife said, "Look, babe, you need to do what you need to do. I'm not going anywhere. Experiment with men and see where it goes." By this point, even though AIDS was still a big deal, there was much more understanding about how one could act out and have sex in a safe way, and I was more willing to start to explore some of that. So basically, I took out every gay actor that I had worked with in regional theater and said, "Listen, my wife and I are renegotiating our marriage, and I now have permission to touch men." At which point they said, "I've wanted you since we first did so and so, let's go." I had a marvelous time until I fell in love. I fell in love with a fellow from Amsterdam and moved to Amsterdam to sort of try and make that work, all the while still staying married and dealing with my son. And I found out very quickly that I wanted a relationship and he wanted American citizenship. So, so that fell apart. I came back to New York and I had another significant relationship. At this point, when our son was about 2 or 3, my wife has a gay brother-in-law and she was explaining to our son that sometimes men and women love each other, sometimes women and women love each other, and sometimes men and men love each other, like Uncle Pat and Mark. At which point my 3-year-old son looked at my wife and said, "Like Daddy and Jason," who was the boy that I was seeing at the same time. So my son outed me to my wife, who already was out too. So what's important about my story is that people understand is that there was never any deception. There was never any sneaking around. We were an open book, and together we renegotiated the terms of our marriage. I will be coming to London on April 16th with my partner, Jake Oswell, who is also a performer and performs in the show with me. Jake and I have been together for almost 10 years. He is 30 years my junior, but we love each other in a May-December kind of way. We are a blended family. I tell people I have 2 spouses. I have my beautiful wife. I have my handsome young boyfriend. And I have my beautiful son, who is now 36 years old, has a master's degree from New York University, and is living on his own. And we are a very happy blended family. And when people of the younger generation come into my life and they're all, "Oh, we're fluid and we're this." And I said, "Honey, I've got a wife for 35 years. I've got a son who's on the autism spectrum but has a master's degree. I have a beautiful boyfriend who is prone to wear dresses and heels. I'm so far ahead of you in the evolution of love and blended families, and we did it at a time when one of my producers says that I am the poster child for authentic living, and it wasn't really anything that I chose. It was just what was presented to me. And I survived the psychiatric conversion therapy. I survived the AIDS crisis. I survived being in the closet. I survived a neurodivergent son and have kept my family together. I have no intention of divorcing or leaving any of them. I tell people I made a vow to love, honor, and cherish my wife until death us do part. I don't believe there's anything in that vow about where I park my Johnson. So, bottom line is I am true to my vows, I am true to my sexuality, I am true to my Judaism, I'm true to my artistry, and if I can do it, being born in the 50s and going through what we went through around the world in the 80s, then any young person who is struggling with their identity, whether they are trans, whether they are straight, whether they are bi, whether they are from a culture that is not being accepted by the mainstream, you can survive. You can not only survive, you can thrive. Because if David Rhodes could do it with all that he had against him and arrive where I've arrived, anybody can.
Wow. You've got me in tears here, David.
Bless you, Steffi.
What an absolute story that was. And I'm so glad that we asked you to give your backstory, because that is
special. I thought we were going to be on here, you know, promoting the show and maybe even singing a few bars. But since you asked, I'm absolutely happy to share. And I feel like it is somewhat my calling to represent this, you know, and to share.
Absolutely, David. That is special. And I'm glad you've shared it with our listeners. And the more people that we can share your story with, the better it is. But of course, you are coming to London.
You are doing
a show.
April 16th at the Crazy Cox. The show is called Soir Noir, and it is a tribute to the golden era of nightclubs. All the amazing songs from the 50s, 60s, some from the 40s. It was originally commissioned for Provincetown Cabaret Fest. I'm sure if we've got an LGBTQ community out there, some of you must have been to Provincetown, which is a magnificent, quaint little fishing village on Cape Cod that is basically populated by all of us. And
on my way.
On your way. Oh, my God. It's amazing. So it's quite a funny story, because for the past 4 years, I've been invited to Provincetown Cabaret Fest as a masterclass teacher and to present a new show. Cabaret Fest is basically cabaret camp for grown-ups. People come from all over the country to spend a week to take classes with professionals and to work on a show that they then get to perform at the end of the week. And during the week, all of the professionals develop and feature their own new shows. And every year there's a theme. It could be songs from the movies. It could be Broadway on the Beach. It was Sondheim by the Sea. And this past year, it was the golden era of nightclubs. And the producer called me up and said, would you please come and teach like you always do and do a show? And I said, you know, Patricia, to be honest with you, I'm a little edgier than that. My shows tend to be more gay-oriented. I like to have a point of view. I like to have a message. I'm not sure that I'm Michael Bublé, that I'm the person you want. She goes, you're coming and you're gonna do a show. She's an 80-year-old, chain-smoking, used to be a chanteuse at the Playboy clubs here in New York. I mean, she's really one of those, you know, Tallulah Bankhead had nothing on Patricia Fitzpatrick. So I said, okay, I'll do it. I put together a show, centered the theme around Provincetown, which is, of course, a gay town, so that I could have some point of view. And much to my surprise, the show was sold out with rave reviews. I was then invited to do the show in New York, again, sold out, wonderful rave reviews. And I'm a huge fan of Crazy Cox. It's my favorite venue in London. And I wrote to the booker there, and she said, please, by all means, come bring the show. So myself, and Jake Oswell, who is my partner, will be doing two numbers because I need somebody to sing while I do my costume change. And he will be performing, he is my femme fatale chanteuse, he will be performing in full evening wear, and I don't mean a tuxedo, and it's just going to be a marvelous evening. So please, everybody, come to London, April 16th, 9 p.m., Soir Noir, Crazy Cox. We're going to take a nostalgic trip back to the glory days of cabaret, and please feel free to dress.
Wow.
I have some beautiful folks in cocktail attire. Gender fluid encouraged.
Excellent. That's what we'd like to hear, David. Absolutely. I can see this place being absolutely rammed.
I can't wait. I am working on another show, which is very different, that will be debuting here in New York in June, Pride Weekend at the Red Eye. That show is much more of a David Rhodes show. It is called Daddy Issues, and I will be doing the entire show in full Tom of Finland leather gear, talking about my experience coming out at 40, which is a whole nother conversation, only to find a myriad of 20-something boys saying, I love you, Daddy. I need a spanking. So that is my edgy show, which hopefully will come to London in the spring. The community that we live in is so diverse. We have so many wonderful stories. There are so many different ways to express your sexuality and to live a life that is meaningful to you without judgment or shame. And as an artist, if I can spread that word or be a part of illuminating, shining light on the amazing diversity of all communities, particularly nowadays when there is such a shrinking of mentality and a throwback to a kind of exclusive nationalist vibe all around the world, more than ever, artists need to stand up, non-artists need to stand up and live our lives as we want, whether they're as husband, fathers, lovers, daddies, trans, queer, whatever it is you are, black, white, green, red, defy some gravity, go out there and party and make your life what you need it to be.
Do you know, David, this has to have been the easiest interview I have ever done. And I've been doing these interviews now for a number of years. But this has been the easiest because I just started you off. And
I didn't stop talking.
Absolutely brilliant.
That's right. Well, I mean, I apologize if I didn't give you your time to speak.
No, because you answered everything that I was going to ask you. So absolutely brilliant. I wish every interview could go like this, David. Absolute dream you are.
It's such a pleasure to meet you, Steffi, and I'm so thrilled to have this opportunity. It really is. I never would have thought that at what I lovingly call the final trimester, that there would be so much joy and it would be so wonderful. Listen, that's a whole nother conversation we could have. Ageism, especially in our community, is really completely unnecessary. I am 65 years old. I am fitter than I've ever been. I'm more in touch with my sensuality than I've ever been. And life is just opening up. So, you young whippersnappers out there, have a party because, if you're lucky, you'll still be enjoying yourselves when you get to be out.
Well, same with me. I'm in my latter years now, and life is going well. And,
I'm so glad. You look gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
Absolutely.
Now, before we do go, David, we need your social media so people can follow you.
Yes,
so they can keep up to date, especially with the shows that you've got coming up, as well as this one.
Absolutely. Please follow me on Instagram at The Real David Rhodes, at The Real, R-E-A-L, David Rhodes. I had an imposter for a while, so I had to close down that account and open one up as The Real David Rhodes. And on Facebook, I am also David Rhodes. It should be easy enough to find me just as David Rhodes on Facebook.
Okay.
That's really what I'm doing. I have yet to open up my OnlyFans. I have yet to do Twitter and yet to do X. And with all the complications over the people running those organizations, who knows whether I will or will not. But you can certainly follow me on Instagram and certainly follow me on Facebook. Okay. And see the show when I'm in the UK.
Yep, I think we'll all be piling in there, David.
I love it.
It sounds like a dream of an evening.
I love that.
Thank you so much, David, and thank you for being so open and honest about your backstory, and what a lovely story it absolutely is. Yeah.
Thank you for giving me a platform to share that. It really was.
No problem. No problem. Thank you so much.
Be well.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Voting for the finals of the Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by Yugo, are now open. You nominated and we've now shortlisted. Now we need your help to tell us who you want to win. All 17 awards are up on our website for you to vote for your finalists. The results will be announced at our award ceremony on the 27th of March, live at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol. To cast your votes, to grab tickets, and to find out more about the Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, visit our website awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. The power of it music, that, isn't it? And it's not gay at all.
No.
What? Gay? Us? Moi? What? You?
No.
Hang on.
No, you have to eat walnut whips to be gay.
I'm a heterosexual,
it's one of the two, isn't it?
Pansexuals do like a walnut whip.
Do they?
Yeah, but they remove the nuts first.
A jammy donut too?
I have to try one then.
Have
you never had a walnut whip?
I've never had one.
You've never had one.
Have you? Oh, here we go. Oh, good catch, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Are you going to... It's a very British chocolate.
It's a lovely chocolate. Yeah. Only in Britain?
Only.
Is it? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Have you had one, Arby?
I'm not sure I have.
Haven't you?
Whoa.
Oh. What is that? Hey! We've got walnut whip.
If you're not aware of what walnut whip is, it's basically, it's a bit like...
It's a chocolate cone.
It's a chocolate cone with...
marshmallow.
Is it marshmallow?
Yes.
And a walnut on the top.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like seared on.
And the way you have to eat them is debated very hotly.
No, I'm right, and everyone else can have their opinion.
Who put her back on the air?
I'm not having it. Steph's version is just eat it all. No.
There is definitely a reason you get typecast in the panto.
Oh. Yeah, but this, you know, to be fair, I said earlier, the only way I eat a Kit Kat is if it's in a bag of salt vinegar crisps. So I have
that's
not
weird.
Much,
are
much
you,
of a leg
are you one of those that also eats crisp sandwiches then?
Oh, yeah, with cheese. Oh, yeah. Not on their own.
It's dry with dry. How
no,
can
you have to have
dry?
Your mayonnaise, your lettuce,
yeah, put mayonnaise
your crisps,
in. Yeah.
Your cheese, more mayonnaise.
Well, that's not
done.
A crisp sandwich. That's
no,
a
crisp,
lots
cheesy,
of things.
Fancy pants. Such
a fancy pants.
It was literally a heart attack on a plate, I swear. But when I was over in Greece, we had it was a slab of feta cheese wrapped in phyllo pastry.
Whoa.
Then deep fried, then sesame seeds and honey put on the top.
Was that divine? With
it
pasta
was,
or what?
No,
that was it.
It's a side for other
a
dishes,
side?
So like, you know,
wonderful.
Had salad
oh.
and stuff like
and,
that. Wow.
And you're complaining about dry on dry?
Yeah, well, dry but it wasn't dry. Because it goes all liquid
yeah,
inside and it's
on
got honey, honey in it. So
we've got dry and dry versus moist on moist.
And what was it you said earlier? Not slushy. What was it? Squishy.
Squishy, slushy, and moist. That's how I like
all
my
words you can't say on air.
And my girlfriends.
Anyway, with that, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for joining us.
Not long left. Go vote at awards.shoutout.lgbt.
Shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. We'll catch you next week, same time, same place.
I know that.
From myself, from Steph, from Lisa, from Arby, from Ez, and from the lovely
Terry. Au revoir.
Terry. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.